Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my friend and colleague, Craig Unger, Den of Spies, Reagan, Carter, and the Secret History of the Treason that Stole the White House. Craig and I were at the same gym on the Upper West Side at this time, and I was often listening to his tales about going from the success of Esquire to the resources available from Newsweek, with bureaus all over the world, with, as Craig says, when they want you to go somewhere, you just buy the ticket and go there. This is owned by the Washington Post and makes a great deal of money. Their editorial meetings, there's a team put together. It's extremely impressive. Maynard Parker is the editor-in-chief. He hires Craig in a conversation. John Barry is the head of the investigation, an Englishman. And they come together and have meetings, and Craig then goes to meet Ben Menashe again, who flies in from Australia. All is going extremely well. Did you have any sense that it was not going in the direction you thought, Craig?
Not initially. I thought we were all on the same page. And wow, this was the team that was going to put it all together. And we would be the new sort of Woodward and Bernstein. That's the way it appeared to be going. And suddenly, about a month or so into it, or 5 or 6 weeks into it, everything turned upside down. And it became clear to me they were trying to discredit all the sources like Ben Menashe. And what actually turned up with Newsweek, it was sort of astonishing to me, is they ended up doing 3 stories in a row saying the October surprise didn't happen. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. And if you know anything about news, news is when something happens. If something doesn't happen, there's no story. And there was just something very, very weird about it very upsetting to me. To me, this is one of the great disgraces in the history of American journalism.
This is 1991. That's important. There's a presidential race coming up in less than a year. George H.W. Bush, the man who Ben Menashe claims flew to Paris as part of the deal making with Iran. George H.W. Bush is running for re-election against, a wide field of Democrats, all some hopeful, one young governor from Arkansas, as I recall. However, the Congress is in firm hands of the Democratic Party, Senate and House. And soon afterwards, there's an investigation forming. The important part of this is that the House investigation is led by Lee Hamilton. What does Lee Hamilton make of the Newsweek claim, assertion, articles, that it didn't happen?
Well, to me, the House investigation was one of the great disappointments. It was a complete whitewash. And, they really didn't pursue any. They didn't exactly take Newsweek at its word, but they came up with another alibi. One of the things that became apparent as we did this investigation is first there was an alibi that Bill Casey was in London, and Newsweek bought that he'd been at a convention and a reunion for veterans of the OSS. And he had been there briefly, but not the entire time. It turned out he had escaped for some of that. So the House of Representatives came up with yet another alibi, and Bob Perry punctured that alibi, but not enough for whatever it was. It seemed to me Lee Hamilton was one of these go along to get along guys. He didn't want to stir thing up with the Republicans. At the time, the Democrats had a huge majority in Congress. I believe they had a 100-seat majority in the House of Representatives, but they were lapdogs and they should have been pit bulls.
There's a presidential election underway, and the committee's report is filed, I believe, in January of 92. January of 92, yes, correct me if I get these dates wrong, And at that point, they believed there's no more need for investigation. In 1994, and Craig has now published an article in Esquire that makes him a target. In Newsweek, he's been part of a team that investigated and said there's nothing to it. Craig asked his name not to be included in the Newsweek posting. Important here to note, you have friends. It doesn't seem that our protagonist at this time has any friends anywhere. The whole world is coming for him. However, Seymour Hersh calls you up. Who is Seymour Hersh and what does he tell you?
Well, Seymour Hersh is one of the great investigative reporters in American history. He did the My Lai massacre. He also did which really helped bring about the end of the Vietnam War. I mean, it was one of those stories that captured the American imagination and showed that American soldiers were capable of atrocities. And what we were doing in Vietnam really wasn't bringing democracy to Vietnam. He also had done a big story called The Family Jewels, in which he revealed so many of the CIA's great secrets. And in the middle of this, he calls me up and he's following what's going on. And we've been exchanging a few phone calls. And he says, you better drop it, Unger. You'll be crushed if you continue. And that's pretty much what happened to me. I was let go from Newsweek. I was sued by Bud McFarlane, who was Reagan's national security advisor. Magazines like The New Republic, where I've been a contributor on and off for many years, start attacking the whole story. And I'm characterized essentially as a conspiracy nut.
And that when Craig gets that advice from Seymour Hersh, I remember him telling me about it. I didn't know what to make of it. Hersh was telling the truth. You will be crushed if you mess with powers such as the agency, the CIA, such as national security advisors for presidents, such as secretaries of state. You will be crushed. In the meantime, Mr. Unger doesn't listen and finds a way forward because, magically, Bob Perry is on the trail as well, who has also been elbowed aside because he is publishing details. They don't have all the points together. They can't put it all together yet. The scale of this is very difficult to imagine, and you need sources with evidence. Bob Perry finds evidence. Now, as I remember, the parking garage is a big scene in Watergate. So Craig's got a parking garage. Here it is. There's a parking garage in the House of Representatives office building. And in that parking garage, there's a dusty door. You go through the door, there's offices that have been abandoned. And then there's what used to be a women's room. Inside the women's room, he finds what, Craig?
He finds some cardboard boxes. And they've got papers in them. And I think even Bob didn't realize what he had stumbled upon initially. This is, as you say, an abandoned ladies' room. And under the tampon dispenser.
30 seconds, Craig.
Is loads and loads of documents. And I have them, and they're 23 gigabytes worth of documents. And in them are the great secrets we've all been looking for.
When we come back, the story. The story of October Surprise. Den of Spies, Reagan, Carter, and the Secret History of the Treason that Stole the White House. Craig Unger is the author. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.